we're learning a bit more about the General Services Administration's move toward a category management approach to federal purchasing. GSA is working on a new concept called hallways. First one's coming this fall. It will deal with IT, we're told. GSA says one person will manage a team of experts that'll create new standards and best practices for a specific area of acquisition, starting again with IT. Roger Waldron is president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and he joins us, as he often does, to talk about procurement issues. Hi there, Roger.
Hi, Jared. How are you doing?
Doing good. So the fact that this first IT hallway is coming in the fall is something we found out about in literally a footnote to OMB's quarterly update on strategic sourcing, which is one of the cross-agency priority goals, as they call them, that we've been reporting on lately. Beyond the fact that it's coming in the fall, what are you hearing about the purposes of these hallways and how they're going to work?
As I understand the hallways, it's as described in the article you guys did last week on this, and that is it's to bring contracts together so that there's one place to see a sort of a family of contracts, IT contracts, for example, across the government in that hallway. But at the same time, as it's been described, you bring together some experts, you try to develop best practices, put those in place. You're not, in terms of IT, as I understand it, not necessarily looking to create one big strategic sourcing contract vehicle, but to identify ways to better manage and acquire information technology through existing contracting vehicles.
Well, let me read from that footnote I mentioned before. It says, while many agencies will continue to award their own contracts, the commodity manager leading the hallway will develop a team of experts to offer guidance and best practices to ensure pricing transparency and common standards, which sounds good on its face. I guess the question is how heavy a hand that manager in each one of these categories is going to use.
You've hit the nail with the hammer on the head right there, Jared. That's exactly the concern of the issue. There's always a balance between centralization of management of the acquisition system versus, agencies, conducting procurements close to the requirements. And our concern would be that this turns into a one-size-fits-all approach that where there's a top-down drive with regard to what you need to buy, how you buy it, that sort of thing. All these agencies have different cultures. They have different missions. They have different spending profiles. Fundamentally, they have different requirements. So to the extent, this idea is to provide best practices that help them leverage their own unique requirements, I think it's a good thing. If it turns into something, as you've described, where they're basically a command and control approach and dictating to agencies what they may or may not do with regard to, their strategic sourcing, I don't think it's going to work. That approach historically has been tried through mandatory contracts that GSA used to manage back in the 90s. It wasn't very successful, created a lot of risk for the government. And philosophically, the closer you can conduct the procurement to the actual requirements holder, I think the more likely you can have, better communication with industry who wants to compete for the requirement, a clearer statement of requirements, and ultimately a better outcome for the taxpayer. When you get bigger contract vehicles that try to cover everybody's requirements, you get to the lowest common denominator, and it's there for everybody, but it doesn't really meet their requirements. And that's really, frankly, also what task order competitions are about under, these like Alliant or the GSA schedules. It's agencies sort of leverage a pre-existing contract vehicle that's available to them, and then they compete their unique requirements in a streamlined manner that saves time and money.
It seems to me that one of the other potential pitfalls here, depending on how it's implemented, is IT is an awful broad area. And as I understand it, they want to use it to cover both hardware and software. In order to deliver government-wide expertise in such a cross-cutting field like that, it seems like it's going to require an army of individuals in GSA that may or may not duplicate what a lot of agencies already have.
That's true. It's a question of how you're going to leverage those resources across the government from an organizational perspective first. And secondly, you make a great point. What's the clear sort of coverage with regard to information technology? You have, as you mentioned, hardware, software. There's a convergence of services and information technology, you know, cloud, software as a service, that type of, you know, capability. And technology, as we know, is constantly changing. There's new solutions. There's new constructs. And frankly, too, when you get to a certain point, agencies have unique requirements and unique needs. There is going to be some commonality, but there's always that unique aspect of it. And then there's another area along with regard to uniqueness that sort of raises concern, and there's a lot of talk about this price transparency and prices paid portal.
Right.
Well, you know, fundamentally, you know, price is driven by terms and conditions. And if you're only going to collect and, you know, share pricing information, then I don't think it's going to serve, you know, the agencies very well at all, because that's not having the information that actually drives price, whether it's delivery, quantities. Obviously, the, you know, the bigger commitment an agency can make up front for their own requirement, you know, through their own contract or their own task order, they're going to get a better deal. There's all kinds of variables that go into the price that's paid. And if you're not sharing that type of information, I don't think that's sound procurement management.
So just to make sure I understand where you're going with that, so let's say agency A looks at this portal and says, okay, this other agency bought this commodity for this price. I want that price, even though I'm imposing potentially much stricter terms on the vendor than the other agency did.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Terms and conditions and performance requirements and, you know, the statement of work, all those things drive the price that you're going to pay for something. And if you don't have that information, then I don't know what value that price really is, other than maybe just as a swag saying, okay, that's a price that's potentially out there. But to really understand the pricing dynamic in a particular category or an industry in a particular set of procurements, you need to understand the terms and conditions that drive that price that's paid, and also the value that's delivered. It's not just often just price, it's that best value dynamic as well, and the solution that's provided may be because the agency needed a certain capability or was looking for a certain efficiency, and they valued that and gave, you know, contractors credit or the winner credit for a particular capability that was brought that they paid a little bit more for, even though it wasn't a mandatory requirement.
Let me call upon your expertise as a veteran of GSA and just ask, has this approach of category management within government been tried before in any capacity? And if so, how's it worked out?
Well, I mean, the category I can answer this way. I'm trying to, you know, jog my memory. I got hit by a lacrosse ball the other day, and I'm still recovering.
Oh, no.
GSA has done category management, and GSA right now is talking about like 17 different categories that
right.
The Federal Acquisition Service is going to manage. That approach has been done before in terms of structuring. Like, for example, when I first started at GSA, I was an attorney, and my biggest client was the Automotive Commodity Center, and they handled all the contracting for automobiles basically for the federal government. And that structure was across GSA back in the early 90s. And mid-90s, so that has been there. The category management that's being implemented now, I guess the closest I would say is the Brooks Act. When that existed, and GSA had exclusive procurement authority for information technology.
Oh, for IT, right.
That would be the closest analogy I could say. And the interesting thing, or the thing you'll have to watch with regard to category management, is these categories are divided up. And let's say, because GSA is not the only one, like DOD is going to be the category manager for transportation, as I understand it. So the question will be, those subject matter experts, are they going to be sensitive to, like for in the case of DOD, are they going to be sensitive to the transportation needs of the civilian agencies? Is that, you know, DOD has always wanted to manage transportation. GSA has played a significant role over that historically, and as part of a sort of the neutral party. So it'll be interesting to see how those kind of, when you create this management structure, you're trying to overlay, you know, sort of a centralized authority over a government that's very diversified in terms of mission, in terms of agencies, and agencies with departments within agencies, and their missions are very different. Their funding profiles are different. How they spend is different. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out.